We continue our series in Ephesians on courageous living, and this morning we're looking at the power to overcome. And chapter 3 is the heart of the book of Ephesians, so Paul is talking about power and love, and then Paul prays for all of us. He says this in verse 7 and following, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged about my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're continuing this series on courageous living, and we're looking at the power to overcome this morning. First, I wanted to get started with something a little humorous. As you probably know, this is the beginning of the football season. Any football fans out there? I heard about this college senior who took his girlfriend to a football game, and they found seats in this crowded football stadium and were watching the action, and pretty soon a substitute was sent out. As he was running out of the field, the young man turned to his girlfriend and said, "You see that, young man? Take a good look at that fellow. I expect him to be our best man next year." And the girl snuggled up and said, "Well, that's the strangest way I ever heard for someone to propose to a gal, but regardless of how you say it, I accept." Well, we're thinking about love and power this morning, and sometimes we don't think they go together, but Paul intertwines them in a beautiful and powerful way. Paul connects the two in this beautiful chapter 3, which is really the turning point in this great book of Ephesians. We're looking into the context of the power to overcome. Let me ask you when the last time it was that you faced something that was simply beyond your strength or seemed beyond your strength. Maybe it was an illness, the news from a doctor, or maybe it is financial difficulties or some kind of relationship issue, or maybe even the loss of a loved one, and it just seemed beyond the resources that you have. I think Paul gives us some good news this morning about how we practically can face challenge and adversity that seem well beyond our own capabilities by learning to lean into God's strength. So I invite you to dive into the scripture this morning. First, I want to recap just for a moment, if you haven't been with us, why Paul writes this book of Ephesians, and he writes it to a church, actually a group of churches clustered around Ephesus. He visited a church, and you can read about it in Acts 18 through 20, and Paul visited briefly in his second missionary journey and then spent over 2 years in his third missionary journey. Ephesus was a pretty special place in the ancient world. You can see that it was sort of had a confluence of the Roman roads that wound through it, so it had a lot of trade. Was also on the edge of a river that opened into the Aegean Sea. It's on the western part of what is Turkey today. And of course, it was busy in terms of commerce and shipping and also culture. It boasted one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, which was this temple to Artemis that was bigger than 1.25 football fields long, if you can imagine that. And people came from all over to go there. And as he visits on his third missionary journey, there's incredible things that happen. He's there teaching for over 2 years, at which time the church ministry began to interfere, and it converted some of the folks who were related to that temple and some of the temple business. And one day a riot was incited by someone by the name of Demetrius. And so people were in this giant Colosseum, and they are shouting, you know, "Greatest Artemis of the Ephesians," and they did that for over 2 hours, and finally the clerk of the court walked out and said, "Listen, These men have done nothing wrong. They've not robbed the temple or anything. But if you think they have, then go ahead and press charges because I'm the clerk of the court. And no one said anything. With that, he dispersed them. You can only imagine that. And so we're reminded that sometimes our help comes from places that we would never realize. And so Paul later on left that church. The church has thrived and done well, but is now under persecution, facing challenge and adversity. Paul, meanwhile, has gone on his missionary journeys, and he's visited a number of places, and then he's been on a ship. The ship has been in the storm, was shipwrecked, and then Paul goes to Rome, and Paul is now in prison in Rome. And Paul hears about the church, and Paul wants to write a letter of encouragement from his prison in Rome. And I think that just in itself reminds us that sometimes when we're going through a discouraging and challenging chapter of our life, then sometimes one of the ways to help ourselves maybe is to do something that encourages someone else. And Tamara's little children's sermon on doing random acts of kindness reminds us of that. So Paul has written this letter. It's a treasure to them, and it still is a treasure for us today. There's a great book on change management called Managing Transitions. It says if we face challenge and adversity, it's difficult for us, but if we have four things, then it's much easier to face. If we have a purpose, if we have the big picture, if we have a plan and we all have a part to play, then it makes it easier to face that challenge and adversity. As if Paul had that script before that book was ever even written. And so he has all those four, but he adds another one, which is the power to do those things. And so when we think about purpose, Paul opens his letter and he talks about how that God's purpose from before time began was to reconcile not just the Jews, but all people in all races and all places. And he's done that through Jesus Christ. And then Paul paints this big picture. And Paul says, listen, I know you're going through challenge and adversity. I myself am in prison. But listen, you need to look at the big picture. This isn't God's plan B. This is plan A from the start. And the same God who saved us in Jesus Christ and reconciled us is at work in us. And God is reconciling us. And so God who saved you also predestined you. And God is at work redeeming you. God is at work fashioning and forming you so you'll have ministry and mission that will have impact long beyond your years. And then Paul goes on to talk about the power. And then he talks about God's plan. He says that God's plan has two parts. And he says in chapter 2, verses 1 and following, he says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is a gift of God. We are made alive by God's grace through Christ in faith. And so through this gift, but it's not just reconciling ourselves to God, it's also reconciling ourselves to each other. Just like the cross is a vertical and horizontal dimension, our reconciliation, our forgiveness in Christ to God, our Father, also reconciles us with each other. And Paul admonishes us and challenges us to work that out. And so last week we talked about the image of the church and Christ's relationship to us, and we look at three images. We look at the bridge, which is sort of the bridge between ourselves and God, as God offers us peace and love and grace and forgiveness through Christ. And then also that we're part of a family of faith, that we're being built into a living temple that is beyond what we could ever imagine, a temple built on the foundation of Christ. So it's a bridge, a family, and a foundation. So Paul continues this morning, and Paul has this turning point here, and he talks about two things. God's power and God's love, then Paul prays that God would have his way in our own lives with God's power and love. And so let's look at this morning. And Paul says, this is in verse 7 and following, he talks about the mystery that was made known to all of us. And Paul says, the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Isn't that amazing? And Paul's just saying again, you know, this is all about being reconciled through Christ and not obeying all the commands. You know, if you look not just the Ten Commands, but you look at all the book of Leviticus, all the things that were detailed in there. And so Paul is saying, listen, by the power of God, we have power in God. By the power of God, we have power in God. And that power is because of our connection to God through God's Spirit. Now, it's not by law, it's by grace. And it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And so Christ somehow balanced the equation between love and justice. Because if it was up to us, I don't know if there's any math fans out there, we talked about homework this morning, right? If you look at the calculus and algebra and all that sort of thing, we're having fun with geometry, my daughter and I, every night at school. But you know, you look at an equation that simply doesn't work out at all, and Paul's saying, listen, we couldn't make it from this side of our sins and shortcoming to the side of God's grace and justice, but through Christ, somehow Christ has bridged the gap. And so Paul repeats that, and he says, this is a great mystery, but then he says this, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which is to your glory. So Paul's saying, listen, I can empathize with the challenges and adversity that you're facing because I myself am in prison. And he goes on to pray for God's power in our lives. And I want you to just listen to this in your own life for whatever you're facing. He says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so Paul, who is probably on, you know, prison chow, and God does work in prison, and Paul is writing to them with strength and power. And I mentioned before, those two words are sort of incredible words in the Greek. The first one is strength, which is kratos, and it's the word that was used to describe the biggest volcano in the ancient world, which, as you many of you may know, you Jeopardy fans, is Krakatoa. And so Paul is using the very same word. He's saying, God strengthened you. And then he talks about God's power, and that word is dunamis, the word that we get dynamo or dynamite or dynamic from. And so Paul is saying, you know, you have this incredible power working within you if you just lean into Christ's strength. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when you're facing something, do you try to do it all on your own? Am I the only person that does that sometimes? And I think sometimes that God puts us in places where we know we can't do it on our own strength to remind us to lean into the strength of God, that Christ is there for us, giving us his strength. And so God's power is the first thing. And I want to use an example. I saw this the other day that Jalen Ramsey, and he's a player for a corner for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, it's football season again. And GQ, because he not only is a great player and making a lot of money, but he's a, you know, he's a fashionable guy. You know, he's at the edge of fashion. And so GQ did this video about him called 10 Things Jalen Ramsey Can't Live Without. And I suppose when they started that video, they were just talking about money and cars and all that sort of thing. But they begin to ask him about what was in his wallet because this guy makes so much money. And as he's doing that, he tells him that the thing that's in his wallet are Bible verses. Now, what a great thing to say. And he says this. He said it started when he was in high school. He said, oh, I've got this card. And on one side of the card, I've got 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So it's about power. And then on the other side, 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. Whoever lives in love in God and God in them. And he says that faith is big for me. Now, I don't know where you are in your life. Here's a guy that is probably in the top of the world as we look at a lot of people. He's got power, prestige, and money, and some fame on the TV screen. But he's saying, listen, one of the most important things for me is not my paycheck. It's the Bible verses I have in my wallet, because for me, it gives me strength and reminds me of God's love. So Paul says power is the first thing, and the second thing is to be established in God's love. And sometimes when we think about power and love, we think those are on the opposite ends of the spectrum, don't we? So here's power over here, and here's love over here. But I think what Paul is saying is that power and love go together when we're talking about God. We talk about God's power, it gives us power to love, and we talk about God's love, God gives us the love in Christ so we know God's forgiveness and God's strength in each and every moment. And so in verse 17, he says this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, there's a lot in those couple verses. And so when you think about it today, he's talking about being established and grounded in power and love. And when we think about the storms of life that sometimes batter us, and maybe it's, you know, financial difficulties or illness or loss of loved ones, I mean, we do get battered by some of the storms of life. But Paul is saying, listen, we can anchor our lives and build our lives on a rock-solid foundation, which is God's love and God's power that's in Christ. And then he goes on to say, can you imagine how high and deep and wide and long is the love of Christ? Now, I want you to take a moment and imagine something that was just seemed beyond your imagination. And for me, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and for us, water meant lakes around there, right? And so sometimes we went to Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes, and that was pretty big. But I remember the first time that I saw the Atlantic Ocean, and that was just like beyond any awe that I could imagine. I mean, the water stretched for forever. Maybe there's another time in your life where you saw something. For me, it was seeing, again, the Grand Canyon for the first time, if any of you have done that. And Savannah and I went there last summer and saw the Grand Canyon. Together, we just sort of, you know, we're just staring day after day, and it's just so beautiful. And it's another experience I had was I love to scuba dive, and I scuba dived once in the Blue Hole in Belize, and it was one of the dreams of my life, one of the best places to scuba dive. And if you fly over, maybe you've seen the James Bond movie way back when, or Jacques Cousteau went diving there a number of times. And if you fly over it, you see this big blue circle in the ocean. It's immense. And so I was excited about diving there. And so we went out there, and it's like, and for a long time, they didn't have the equipment could even find the bottom of this hole. And so we dove down there, and we were down about 175 feet, and it's like floating in the Grand Canyon. It's just immense, a coral reef all the way around you. As far as you can see, it just stretches forever, and then there's sharks floating down there too. So that's an awe in and of itself. You want to just be glad that they're far enough away. But Paul's saying, imagine this. Imagine the immensity, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's beyond everything that you can ever imagine. And even today, if you think about Lafayette, someone was telling me, one of my friends who's a farmer some time ago, he's talked to me about the Tees River. I don't know if you know about the Tees River, but the Tees River is a huge underground river that runs directly under Lafayette. In fact, it's 6 miles wide underneath Lafayette. It's where we get our water, which is why we have some of the purest water, though it's the most minerals in it, of course. But it's immense. It dwarfs the Mississippi River, but it's pure, it's deep, and it's powerful. And people have said, well, no matter how dry it is up here, down there, that river is always running. And so Paul is trying to lift our eyes to think about some images that we might have in our life that helps us and invites us to imagine what the love of Christ is. And I think that he would tell us that that love is greater than whatever image we have in our mind. And so wherever you are today, maybe you think that there's a sin or something that you've done that is beyond God's forgiveness. I think Paul would say, listen, Christ's love is bigger than any image you could ever imagine. Greater love than all the Grand Canyon or the deepest ocean. And God can embrace you in that moment. And so you not only know God's strength, but God's love as well. And so Paul invites us to think of those challenges. And then he ends this section with one of the most incredible scriptures in all of the Bible. And he says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Immeasurably beyond what we could ever ask or think. And so we think about Jesus' words to his disciples that Wally read earlier. And Jesus himself is about to go to the cross. Disciples are about to go through the biggest storm they've ever gone through in their life because they're going to feel lonely, deserted. They can feel the darkness pressing in on them, and they're going to feel their own failure. But Jesus looks at them. Then Jesus says those words that Wally read. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be not discouraged. I have overcome this world. Jesus' power overcomes anything we could ever face in life. And so Paul is echoing that. And so wherever you are today, whatever challenge or adversity that you feel like you're facing or in the future in your life, know that God's strength and God's love is greater than all that. And through that, you and I can overcome. I want to close with this thought. Ships, when they're on the sea, even when they're on sort of moderate seas, the metal hull, these big cargo ships, is all the time being buffeted by the winds and the waves. And over time, there's little fissures that can be created in the hull of those great ships. And so from time to time, they have to bring them in. They have to actually x-ray those ships because they can't see the fissures. Because sometimes you'll see a ship that was even in a moderate storm, a big ship, and all of a sudden the hull will sort of crumple and that ship will go down. And so they've learned over time they need to x-ray those ships every now and then because we're told that there's metal fatigue that takes place in those ships, these tiny fissures, and we can't see. And that metal fatigue over time, moderate storms can just have its impact on that. And then, in what is even a great storm, the ship can go down. Now, you and I don't have mental fatigue, but we do sometimes have mental fatigue, don't we? We sometimes have mental fatigue because of the storms and the buffeting that we get from challenge and adversity in life. And so sometimes you and I need to lean into the strength of Christ our Lord. And D.L. Moody said it this way, and I like this. He said there's three kinds of faith. He said there's struggling faith, and struggling faith is when we're sort of outside the boat and we're struggling in the water. And then he said there's clinging faith, where we're clinging to the side of the boat. And then he said there's resting faith, where we're inside the boat. And so you might be struggling in the water, you might be clinging to the side of the boat, but I think Jesus would say, listen, get inside the boat. Know my strength, know my love, know my embrace. And so as Peter was tossed about in the storms, and as you know, and cried out to Christ, Jesus reached down and pulled Peter out of the wind and waves, and then they were suddenly out of the storm and in the ship. And so whatever storm you're in this morning, know God's strength and God's love is there. I want to just close by praying this prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians, and I want you just to think about it and close your eyes for a moment and think of whatever it is that you're facing and feel God's love and God's power. Paul said this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, and to grasp and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. And now, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to that power at work in us, be honor and glory forever." And all God's people said, Amen.